We are taking a look at consumer protection issues today on the program. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Back once again, Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to have you back.
Nice to be here, Larry.
And Michelle Reinen, who directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within our Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to see you, too.
Good to see you.
We are going to be talking about how to receive fewer unwanted phone calls. We can talk about the latest scams and some of the crackdowns that are taking place on these fraudulent companies. You have consumer questions, I bet. Three people are already up online, but there's a line open for you at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Well, you know, we've talked about this on the show, and it comes up, I think, a lot. Getting phone calls from unwanted sources, very annoying. What can we do to lessen the number of calls we get, Sandy Chalmers?
Well, that's probably the most frequently asked question we get is, how can I make the call stop? I'm sick of getting these calls. I'm sick of my phone ringing. First of all, it is very helpful if you don't engage when you receive a call. If you get a robocall, they'll ask you to press a number or press a pound key. Don't engage at all. Just hang up. But beyond that, there are some technological solutions out there that are relatively inexpensive or even free in many cases. If you have a landline, a hardwired phone, a copper-wired phone, your options are pretty limited still. There are devices on the market you can purchase for, you know, between $50 and $100. And it is kind of cumbersome to have to program the numbers in that you want to block. But if you have a relative or friend that is particularly vulnerable to fraudulent calls, it might be
worth
a good investment.
Spend an hour, you know, in an hour
right.
You could probably do quite a bit, actually.
Right. And if you have a voice over an internet phone, go to nomorobo.com, and your phone will ring once if it's a robocaller, and then it'll quit ringing. And it's an easy process to sign up. I signed up last week, and it took under 5 minutes, so really quick and easy. And you can also check with your phone carrier to see what kind of services they offer. There are fee-for-service type options, and there are also free options. So those are some things you can start with if you want to actually block the calls from coming in.
You know, and it's amazing how much money. I was looking at a report, I think we got it from you folks, on this guy in Florida. He made almost $100 million on spoofed robocalls in 3 months.
Yeah,
that's
people.
$100 million.
People think it's just them that's getting all these calls, but there was this recent federal case in Florida. A one-man operation, he made 100 million robocalls over 3 months. Well, that, you know, and you multiply that by the thousands and thousands of criminals there are out there, just shows you how technology has made it very easy for criminals to make these illegal calls.
And I think the FCC proposed a $120 million fine.
Yeah, and we're all saying hooray.
Yeah, hooray for that. Well, we have lots of folks. In fact, every line is filled right now. So let's take a call. We'll talk more about these scams, these phone calls. But you've given some good advice just to get us going, Sandy, for sure. Doug in Reedsburg.
Hi there.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me. I just wanted to say real quick, just recently here in the last 2 months, I got a phone call to my cell phone. And it was an odd number. I didn't answer it. And I got a voicemail, and the voicemail was a robot lady's voice saying that they were the IRS and that they were putting out an arrest warrant in my name. And kind of shook me a little bit. So I didn't call the number back. I specifically called the IRS to ask them what was going on, and they said, no, we don't do that. And then they directed me to their website where I could put in the details about the phone call to report it to them.
Oh. Well, Michelle, that's something you've heard before, and good for you, Doug.
Right, absolutely. Probably one of our most popular reported calls last year, the IRS imposter scam, where the IRS calls you and demands payment for back taxes, and if you don't pay, then threatens jail time or arrest and jail time. So, you know, again, not engaging in these. Excellent job by hanging up and calling a legitimate number that he sourced on his own, not using the contact call number, because he was concerned. And a government contact concerns consumers.
And
these scam artists play on that. So he used his own resources to find a phone number, inquire about it, and then they told him how to report it. You can call us about those as well and report them. There was a big drop-off in October because there were a number of arrests for these call centers in India, but with tax season having come and passed, yeah, we are seeing an increase in these calls again because new imposters are taking place of those who had been arrested.
Yeah. Doug, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Good reminder and good information there. Gary in Appleton, it's your turn next. Hi, Gary.
I have an old-fashioned landline, you know, the old copper wire, and we get about one or two calls a week, some automated, some with a bad accent. But I got one yesterday that had me puzzled. I go, hello, and I pause, hello. There was a pause, and then they go, goodbye. It was automated. And I'm wondering, I've never heard of one like that. No wondering what that's all about.
That could be a number of things, but they were probably just trying to identify whether the number that was dialed was a live number with somebody who is willing to pick up the phone. So a lot of these calls are designed to generate information that can be sold on. And a phone number with somebody who's willing to pick up when the phone rings is valuable information to somebody. So that's the most likely cause of that call, I would think.
How about if you let go of the answering machine, does that identify us as a live person?
Yeah, it can. Sure it can.
Because you'll get
because the call message was answered. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. So in Gary's case with a landline, your original advice for landline.
Yeah, you can check with your phone carrier, whether it's AT&T or whoever it is. You can also check and look at your phone manual. And there are probably call blocking features on your phone. And that's not the greatest solution, you know,
yeah,
because you have to kind of manage the calls as they come in. But, you know, at least it's something.
And there was another one that you mentioned, Sandy, the last time, I think, where they were trying to get you to say a word like yes. I'm trying to remember, or was it Michelle? Did you talk about that?
Yeah, so at the end of January, we saw a big sweep of phone calls to Wisconsin and throughout the nation, for that matter, where there were calls being placed, and during the call, it became garbled, and the caller would say, can you hear me? And they're trying to get the consumer to say yes. And the FCC had put out alerts in March as well, advising consumers to say, I can hear you now, instead of yes, because the theory behind those is that they'd use that recorded yes to put unauthorized charges on your credit card. And we've seen complaints come in where consumers have said yes, and then they have seen unauthorized charges. We've not yet made the direct tie and link, but we've seen the timing time out with these consumers. So we are looking into that and working with the federal government as they review these as well.
Just another aspect of this whole nefarious business. Thank you, Gary, for calling. Appreciate it. Carol in Oak Creek up next. Hi, Carol.
Hi, thank you. Say, I have an old-fashioned answering machine with a landline. I'm on a no-call list. I do not have caller ID. And every day I get what I call hang-up calls. The answering machine will ring once. It picks up. And then all I get is a beep, beep, beep. And I don't answer it. I just let the answer, because I'm so sick of getting up and down. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, are they scanning my line to see if it's a live line, or is there some way I can stop this? It's every day.
Is that a very rapid beep? Like,
yes.
Like that?
No, not like that. It's just, it's beep, beep, beep.
Okay.
Yeah, that could be what's happening. They're seeing if there's an answering machine there that will pick up and that identifies your line as belonging to somebody. But, you know, these scammers have become increasingly sophisticated over the years, and one of the things they've learned how to do is to hang up immediately if an answering machine picks up, because that limits how much they have to pay for the call, you know, and they're spending like a penny a call anyway, but anything they can do to reduce their cost, they're going to do. So that could be what's happening in your case. There are some telephones, even if you have a hardwired phone, you can set up only numbers that you want to hear from to ring on your phone.
Except I don't have caller ID, so I have no idea where these calls are coming from.
Yeah. So that would be have to be a feature you'd have to add.
Okay.
In order to be able to do that.
To screen your calls.
To screen the calls, yeah. But that... You know, depending on, you know, if you've got only about 10 people or even 20 people that you want to hear from, if you had the caller ID, then you could put the block in and just only accept these numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, okay. Right. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So might be worth, Carol, the caller ID.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And finally, some open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's turn to Don in Superior next. Don, hi. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hello. It's Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
No problem. Hey, I think you kind of answered my question. I was calling about the whole, like, when you answer yes on the phone. I've been getting tons of calls for, like, the last 6 months or so. They don't leave a message. And at first, I'd answer the phone, and then I stopped doing that because, you know, there'd be nobody on the other side. And then I heard about that scam, and I'm not exactly sure how that can work. I mean, it seems to me that just because they record your voice saying yes doesn't mean that someone should be able to open a loan or in your name or something. That's kind of crazy. But
yeah.
Have any of these people ever been caught? I mean, do they ever catch these people? I mean, do they know, I mean, these calls, these prefix numbers are coming from not just all over Wisconsin, but all over the nation. It's like, do they ever put anybody behind bars, or what do they do with these people? Because I really think that, you know, they should have some pretty, pretty stiff penalties, like, I don't know, break rocks for 20 years.
Well, Michelle Reinen, what about it?
They do. So usually state governments working with federal partners and sometimes international partners as well have made a number of arrests. There have been individuals who have also been put in jail and prison as a result. At the top of the show, we talked about the FCC and the $120 million fine for the gentleman out of Florida making the 100 million calls in 3 months in spoofing phone numbers. And then in October, there were the number of call center arrests in India. I believe it was 7 of them, with thousands of individuals arrested and 20 indictments in the U.S. as well from the money runners. So it's not just the individuals who are making the calls that they arrest. They go after the other individuals behind the criminal activity that's happening, those who are collecting the money, all the partners involved. And they take a number of years oftentimes. There was a big sweep in early spring as well related to the Microsoft tech support scam and the calls people would receive there, where states work together to put together arrests and charges against individuals. So, yes, it takes a lot of effort. And when you file a complaint with us, we search back every phone number to see if we can identify. We report all the information we receive to the federal government, the Federal Trade Commission, so they can also be looking at it, analyzing it across the nation with the other state data as well. So,
yeah, so we're trying.
Lots of efforts.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan, for calling. Let's go to Mabel in Duluth, Minnesota next. Hi, Mabel.
Hi. I heard about NoMoRobo from my phone company, Charter, because they don't do it. And so I went on my iPad, and I went through all the way to the end, and it would not work. I was so frustrated. And then I found out you have to do it from a regular computer, not an iPad. So my grandson was here, and he went in and did it for me, and it's so wonderful because I used to get 12 calls a day, and now I can see they're on my caller ID, but I don't get the calls. It's just wonderful.
Oh, well.
But make sure people use a regular computer because it won't work on an iPad.
Oh, well, that's good, good information, Mabel. Thanks a lot for calling. Sandy?
That is good advice, and when I signed up, I used our desktop computer, so I didn't know that a tablet won't work. But something else that I like that she did, when she ran into a roadblock with the technology, she called in somebody to help a younger person, and sometimes you have to do that. But it is a very easy process, and I tell you, my phone rings once, and then it stops, and that is...
That is very nice.
Peace and quiet is wonderful.
Thanks, Mabel. Appreciate the call. Oh, boy. We have Bill in Knife River, Minnesota up next. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. I have a little bit of a lighter side to this. Sometimes when a robocaller calls, I ask them for money. And I'm not sure if there's a danger in this or not, but a few times I've made my Scandinavian accent a little bit more Scandinavian and told them that we're saving and trying to save money to buy an inside toilet and get inside water before winter comes. And I've only got $5 in my savings account, but I wonder if you could help me out and send me $5 or $10 so we could get inside toilet by winter.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds like fun, but can be a downside to that, too, if I'm not mistaken, Michelle.
There can be. So these scam artists, these callers, are very, very smart, and they'll play with you as long as you're engaged in the call. And so one, they have that you'll engage in the call, so that makes you on one list. But then they can work the other direction and maybe trip up what you're trying to say and obtain information about you, too. And then that will put you on another kind of list. But it shows that you're willing to engage, and then some people get scared. We've had callers who've told us about how then the scammer reverses the call and ends up calling the police in reverse and reporting the person they've called, and the police show up at the doorstep too. So some are more threatening than others, and you need to be very cautious about if you're going to engage in what you're giving up information wise.
Yeah, but it sounds like you had fun with it, Bill, so thanks a lot for calling. We had a listener email in to say talk about a scam new to that person. A crook goes to the post office and fills out a change of address form for the victim's address to go to the crook's address. Then they will get your mail and be able to steal your identity. Have you heard of that one, Michelle?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the tips that we have of if you receive a change of address form in the mail, pay attention to that because that's a signal that your identity could be at risk here. Thieves will try and take over your identity many different ways, and one is redirecting your mail. That's why the Postal Service sends that change of address to the new address and to the old address to make sure you're informed that there's been a request to reroute that mail. If that happens, make sure you run a credit report right away, one of your free ones, so you can see what else is happening with your identity there.
And again, just for those who, well, how do I do that? How do I run my credit check? What do you do, Sandy?
The easiest way to do it is online by going to annualcreditreport.com. It's all one word, annualcreditreport.com. And you can also call them 1-877-322-8228.
1-877, what's the rest?
322-8228.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, and if we have any crooks listening, you really don't want to mess with the U.S. Postal Service.
That would not be a place I would not want to get caught.
It sounds so easy, but you do not want to mess with them.
Oh, absolutely. And while we're at it, a caller in Williams Bay would like you to go give some information on getting on the Do Not Call list.
Yeah, and again, a very easy process. You go to donotcall.gov, and again, that's all one word, donotcall.gov. And if you don't have internet access, you can call 1-888-382-1222.
1-888-382-1222. Okay.
And you do need to be calling from the phone line you want to register. So if you're trying to help a family member and get them registered, you need to go to their house and use their phone line to do that.
And we'll get, I think Jill Nadeau, our producer, probably get those numbers up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So if you didn't get them down, we'll have them there. And of course, you probably have those numbers up on your consumer protection.
Absolutely. They're on our website to register for the list there. We have a link directly to, if you're going to use the computer to register the number instead, that you can just go straight there.
And your website is?
datcp.wi.gov. And that's the department initials, datcp.wi.gov.
Let's go to Sheboygan next and talk to Mary. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I had a question about a phone call I received, and then I also had a tip to share. The phone call came from a local number here in Sheboygan, and the first thing the caller asked was, "Who is this?" Well, I didn't say, but I said, "Well, why are you calling?" She said, "Well, your number has called my phone 3 times today." And I apologized. I figured it was a pocket dial or whatever. But when I checked my log after I hung up, I hadn't called her at all. And I wondered if that's some kind of a new scam. I couldn't figure out what advantage they would have, yeah, other than if I'd gotten, you know, if I had given her my name.
Yeah, Sandy?
Well, these crooks that are calling use a number of methods to disguise who they are, and one thing they do is make up a number and program the recipient of the call's caller ID to display a local number. So they probably just snagged your number, and this robocaller is blasting out thousands of calls per day and making it look like it's you calling people, because they know that people are more likely to pick up if the call's from a neighborhood phone number.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, and you had something else, Mary?
Yes, I wanted to share a tip. It just came to me. I got one of these calls that said, "Hey, we're from Microsoft, and there's a problem with your computer." And I just said, "My computer's not on. This is a scam. I know it's a scam. You know it's a scam. And I want to know, does your mother know what you do for a job?" And they hung up, and they've never called back again.
Well, Mary, you sound like a mother who's used to giving orders. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Oh, boy. Steve in New Lisbon, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for letting me tell you this little story. About twice I received a Mercedes-Benz, plus one was $700,000. I had just won. And all I had to do was come to Tomo, Wisconsin, and bring $50 in cash, and I could pick up the car and the check. And I said, "Well, you know what? Why don't you bring the Mercedes-Benz here? You can drive. We'll drive to my bank. We'll cash the check, and I'll give you $100." Those people didn't call back, but on the other one, I have caller ID, And it appeared to be a U.S. phone digits, the same number. I mean, same number of numbers.
Yeah.
And I called USL and I said, "Is this an American phone number?" And they didn't have the right answer. So they were nice enough to. I was charged $100 because I kept calling them back. I said, "When are you coming over to pick me up? We're going to the bank, aren't we?" But I shall let other callers give you information. And like I would say, if you have caller ID, don't presume that it's just because it's got the same number of digits that an American phone number
is being used. Yeah. Well, that's right. And go along with it, if it's a local sounding number, which I get all kinds of, mm-hmm. I've got to get that Nomo Robo on my phone.
Yeah, it's really easy, Larry.
Can I do it on my phone? Can I sign up on my smartphone?
There are other options for smartphones. I don't think Nomo Robo, they're trying to expand into wireless now. But there are lots of call blocker apps for your smartphone, both Android and iPhones.
I've got an iPhone, but the Nomo Robo won't work for an iPhone. Oh, it will work.
It will now, but there's a fee. So okay. It's free if you use your voice over internet, your home phone that's run through the internet. But if you want to put it on your Android or iPhone, they do have something, but it's a monthly fee.
Okay.
So there's other apps that are free out there as well. So just decide what works best.
For me. All right. Alice in New London, your turn. Hi, Alice. Alice, are you there? I wonder if Alice hung up. She had a question about a cure for junk mail. Is there...
Well, there's a couple things you can do for junk mail. So you can, if there are credit card offers that you're getting for junk mail, you can go to optoutprescreen.com. It's a long website name, optoutprescreen.com. And you'll have to give your social security number to do this, but that will decrease it will eliminate pre-approved credit card offers that are sent to you. You can also call, and that phone number is 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. And that's OPT-OUT, O-U-T. The other option is you can contact the Direct Marketers Association, and that's all the other kinds of mail, junk mail that you get, the magazines
mm-hmm.
and catalogs mm-hmm. and all sorts of other mailings. And there you can go, that information's on our website, but you can contact them and minimize that for 5 years or for permanent as well to just decrease your direct mail, your direct marketing mail that you have and what we call junk mail.
Let's go to Brenda next in Chippewa. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Larry, and thank you for having me on the show, and what a great show. I had an incident a few months ago where I was getting like 15 calls a day. And it all had the same area code, but it had a different last two numbers. Basically, that was changed. So I started Googling these numbers. And they were all coming out of Stevens Point area. So I called the police department. You know, I never got another call after that.
Huh.
So I don't know if the local authorities can go in and break up a ring like that because they had an office building there, and it would be 5-6 different people, and it was just bang, 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 one call after another. And I said, this is enough. So like I said, I Googled the number, call the local authorities, and I have not heard from these people since.
Huh. Well, that's a surprising result in a way. Is it likely the police, or maybe they called you folks, or it could be any number of options that would have been in play there?
Yeah, and who knows what happened, but what is my guess is that the scammers set up the caller ID to make it look like it was a call coming from Stevens Point, and she picked up, you know, it worked in her case. She picked up the phone, and these callers are programmed to dial through numbers in an area code, and they just go sequentially through all the numbers and ring, ring, ring through the entire area code. And then once that area code's done, they move on to the next area code. So her local exchange was probably bombarded with robocalls for one day, and then they moved on to the next area.
Oh, yep. Interesting. Thank you, Brenda, for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Joanne in Marshfield a chance to join in. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, my son and his wife were in Las Vegas for their wedding, actually, and these people contacted them about a timeshare, and they'll give you these gift cards and buy you lunch, and they were like under a time restraint, and they still wouldn't like let them go. They almost like held them captive because they had no way to get away from there. And so they finally went ahead and signed us, but they didn't give them any payment information, and now they're getting certified letters. What should they do?
Hmm.
I told them not to pick up the letters.
Well, you know, that's a problem, Michelle, if once they sign.
Right. And they weren't in Wisconsin when this happened.
Right. I'm just wondering if they should contact somebody in North Dakota.
Yeah. So I think what you want to do is you can easily file a complaint with us, and we will then get it to the proper state. Consumer Protection Agency will do a referral to get it over to that consumer protection in that state. Every state has their own laws about different situations, and Wisconsin does have laws governing the sale of timeshares that are sold here when you're here in our state, whether you're a Wisconsin consumer or from another state. So we'll help redirect that. If it happened in Las Vegas, we'll get it to Nevada and go from there.
Hmm. There we go.
Okay. And so how should they go about filing the complaint with you then?
You can go directly on our website and file online, and that is datcp.wi.gov, and there'll be a file a complaint button, and you can go there. If you want a complaint form mailed to you, you can call 1-800-422-7128 between 7:45 and 4:30, and someone can talk to you and get that mailed out.
And that's 1-800-422-7128?
That's correct.
And the website is D as in David, A, T as in Tom, C?
C as in cat, P as in Paul,
.wi.gov.
Correct.
Okay, I'll send that information on to them.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Marty in Bennett, it's your turn. Hi, Marty. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. I always really appreciate this show that you have on once a month. Just when you think you know everything that's going on out there, you realize you don't. I'm calling about the gentleman who called a couple of calls ago about the Mercedes-Benz and all the money. Why would a scammer want to actually meet somebody in person? And I'm not doubting what he said. I believe what he said. Well, does that ever really happen?
Hmm. Michelle?
Yes, it does. And I have to say, unfortunately, because usually when a scammer wants to meet in person, they don't have what it is that they've promised you to deliver, and we've seen cases where then a theft occurs. So a true crime. All of this is criminal behavior, but we get into the theft aspect of it. So we've seen this happen a few months ago with a woman with a large ring,
a diamond.
Thanks, Sandy. A diamond ring, and she was even flown to another state to meet and drop that off, and she was robbed. So meeting in person, we advise against that. If it's a purchase that you've arranged using an auction site or a sales site such as Craigslist comes to mind, if there's going to have to be a meeting, we usually say, go meet at the police department, because a criminal's not going to show up on the front doors of the police department steps and then do your exchange there. But be very cautious about meeting in person, and they'll do this because some of these criminals have no fear.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. Alice in New London, your turn. Hi, Alice.
Yes, I have a solution for junk mail. It's not a solution, but it'll make you feel good. I send a cover letter with a reverse invoice. The cover letter says, you know, you don't pay me for my labor to process my name off of everything, and you don't pay any kind of mortgage for the brown paper sack that takes space in my home. So I did my own calculation at $10 an hour and so much for the 2 square feet that the bag takes up. And then I send them an invoice for the annual cost every year for their extortion.
Well,
do you still get junk mail?
No, I don't, but I also call up. But I'm very nasty.
Thanks. All right, so Alice has got a little nastiness in her heart there when it comes to those scammers. Thank you so much for that call. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at consumer scam issues with our guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. Let's go right to Mike in Cushing next. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Say, I have a kind of an option of that question where they ask you, can you hear me, and you answer yes, and then they use that yes to forward some kind of a scam on you. I got one that said, I picked it up and it says, push 1 for yes and 2 for no. And so I think that's a possible way for them to say that they called you and asked you questions and you said, won't push 1, and it got a yes. So I think that's kind of a variation of the question.
Yeah. Sounds like it, Michelle.
Yes, and we've also seen where this generates more lead lists. So Sandy was talking about how a lot of these calls are just to figure out different lists that can be sold, and they have different values. If you're pressing buttons, that also shows you're willing to engage, and it could up the value of your phone number on one of these lists with these criminals.
Yeah, thanks for that call, Mike. Bob in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, Bob. Bob, are you there?
Sorry, Larry.
That's okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a friend who bought a trailer from an RV place on the east side a couple weeks ago. And I was with her when they told her the price, and she signed all the papers. You know, they had a stack of papers for her to sign. And then, like a week later, she finds out that they had charged her almost $10,000 more than what she had agreed to. And I'm just getting the story from her, and I haven't talked to the people there yet, and they might not talk to me since I didn't co-sign or anything. But where would I report that to?
Yeah. Where do we report that, Sandy?
We would like to have you file a complaint about this, and you can go on our website and file at datcp.wi.gov. And we'll take your complaint, reach out to the business on your behalf, and try to find some kind of way to resolve the issue. And in many cases, when we contact a business, they will make an adjustment. And I can't make any promises, but we are very successful in reaching agreements with these businesses.
And that's DACP?
datcp.wi.gov. And if you can upload the documents, the contract, or any sales invoices, anything that you have, that will be helpful to us.
Oh, okay. Because when she went back to them, they said, is this your signature? And she showed her all the papers she had signed. Of course, you know, who reads everything when they sign when they buy something like that?
Well, so somewhere along the line, there should be a final cost at the bottom.
Right. So that, as well as she should walk away with a copy of what she signed. So if the two don't match, that as well is something. So whenever you're making a big purchase like that, you know, get your copy when you walk away.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you for calling. Ruth and Jefferson, your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I was wondering if you get a lot of junk mail in the mail. If I write refuse on it and send it back, are they charged for that? And then do they stop sending it?
I actually don't know the postal regulations as it relates to that refuse and charges that go. I mean, they'll be charged for the original mailing and it's sent back.
Yeah, if you're getting a catalog or something you don't want to receive, you can either call or email the company using the contact information on the catalog and say, take me off your list. And there is another option that Michelle mentioned earlier. Going to the Direct Marketing Association website, which I can't come up with the web address off the top of my head.
We'll get that
for you. You can actually decline to receive junk mail from the members of the association, which, you know, it's all the
huge
major retailers belong to.
Yeah.
It's the website is, Michelle found it for me, it's dmachoice.org.
dmachoice.org.
Right.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests here on the Ideas Network. Looking at consumer scams today with our two experts, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Go back to the phones now and talk to Tim in Kenosha next. Hi, Tim. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a letter carrier, and I have several elderly people on my route who spend an inordinate amount of money on Publisher's Clearinghouse. You know, they're on fixed incomes. They're buying things they don't need, hoping to increase their chances of winning. Is this an actual scam or...
Yeah. All right. That's a good question, Tim. Who wants to take that? Michelle, do you want to take that?
Well, so Publishers Clearinghouse, there is a legitimate version of that, and we've seen that they give away that money. And then we've seen over time where individuals feel they can increase their odds by entering or buying more magazines or doing different things, and we've looked at that issue and over time. And then there's this whole Publishers Clearinghouse scam where there's imposters out there trying to impersonate Publishers Clearinghouse and act and feel and look very much the same as the legitimate one, and entice consumers to get involved there. So I think with your residents, your customers there, we'd want to be looking at what they're involved with and where their money's going and what representations are being made to them. And are they really from the legitimate company or are they from the scam variation, and try and assist them that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Publishers Clearinghouse has a whole bunch of disclaimers on all its printed materials, but we all know that there are many people who don't read the disclaimers.
And your chances of winning do not go up if you buy...
And that is one of the disclaimers.
They in the very fine print.
Yeah. You know, I've read many times that one of the sure signs that an elderly person is being victimized is that they're receiving an unusually large number of magazines. They're, for some reason, they're very vulnerable to those, you know, callers that say, if you buy magazines, you'll win the big sweepstakes. So, as Michelle said, this isn't necessarily Publishers Clearinghouse, the company. It could be somebody else using that name to sell them magazines and posing as Publishers Clearinghouse.
Okay, I'll have to look a little more careful. And I also have a partial answer to that lady who called what happens to advertising mail when you send it back. We just throw it out.
Okay. So it
doesn't send it back. So the people who sent it won't know that you don't want it anymore. They'll just keep sending it.
Okay. So, well, boy, that's good information to have. Thank you, Tim.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. We have lots of mail carriers who listen to the show. It's a lot of rural mail carriers because they're in their car delivering, and so it's always fun to hear from them. Karen in Osseo up next. Hi, Karen.
Hello. I have a story from my father, who's been deceased for over 40 years now. Obviously, even way back then, he was bothered by these nuisance calls. The only difference is they were live back then. And so he always kept a whistle by his phone. And when they would call, he would just blow that whistle as loud as he could into the speaker.
Oh, my goodness me.
We've heard many creative solutions to this telemarketing problem. A few months ago, we heard from somebody who quoted Bible verses to telemarketers, and she said that worked. So, yeah, you're right that with today's type of fraud, where the callers are halfway around the world and using a computer to dial the phone, a whistle isn't going to work.
There we go.
Well, my dad didn't live long enough to have to deal with that one. So, well, thank you for your program.
Yeah, thanks, Karen. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Open lines. We'll get you on really quickly here. I want to go to an email that we got from Mary from Siren, Wisconsin. She had a friend with a small business who was having problems with his bookkeeping software. He Googled the software name to get the support phone number and called to discuss the issue. Turns out it was a scam number. And the support team dialed into his computer and stole customer information before he realized what was happening. That is too bad. So he Googled the number, and that's not the best approach, is it, Sandy?
No, and that's a fairly common type of fraud, unfortunately. The same thing happens with like Medicare and other government organizations that will use your Social Security number. It's always best to use the web address that you have and an email that they've sent to you, or a customer service number on materials you've received.
All right. And Ann in Milwaukee emailed to say she's currently receiving several landline calls a week from a real person about her Medicare benefits, but she's not old enough for Medicare. It has not worked to say that she doesn't have Medicare, so how can she stop these annoying calls? I wonder if it's the same number every time, and it is a real person, she said.
Yeah, I would file a complaint with us about that, because if it's a legitimate something, we can direct it appropriately, and we can assist to take care of that and get her in contact with the right agency. And if we research the phone number and it comes back to something else, then we can make sure she's aware of that and watches that she not engage in that. One thing we've talked about on the show in the last month or so is the fact that the Medicare cards are going to be changing, and they need to change by April of 2019, and everyone will be issued a new one. So we're awaiting the newest scam that will play off of this. We talked a little bit about it last month, that you will not have to pay to get your new card. You will not have to give your personally identifiable information. You will not have to receive phone calls about it. It should just be issued to you. But we're concerned about all the plays off of this that we've seen every time something changes in government. And so this one is concerning here, that someone's going to be playing off of that. So we want to look at this.
Mike in Gordon, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, appreciate the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of inform your listening public. This happened a couple years ago to my mother, where she received a phone call from a law enforcement agency in Wisconsin. A sergeant was on the phone and told her her grandson had been in an accident and hit an older lady, and that he was at fault, and they were going to charge him unless $500 was sent. And my mom actually thought she spoke to her grandson on the phone. This is a person in their 80s. I don't know where they get the numbers at. She gave them my number. They called me, and I talked to this sergeant. And when he explained everything what happened, and I know law enforcement does not do that, they won't ask for money over the phone for a citation or you're going to get off the charges. And when I pressed the guy for what agency he was with in Wisconsin, they immediately hung up.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, here's an 80-year-old lady. Luckily, Mike, the son, I'm surprised they actually called. I wonder, I'm surprised they actually called Mike after the fact, but because they would have almost, you'd almost think they would have assumed that that would not be, you know, they were going to be caught.
Well, they must have thought there was a good chance of getting the $500, you know. This is one of the most tragic scams out there, and we talk about it a lot, but still people are being victimized by this scam. And the sad thing is, once you've sent money, they will continue to call and demand money, and the calls get more pressuring and harassing, and these people are put in very scary situations. But you can see in this situation, I'm sure she was scared to death, and she really thought the grandson had been in this accident.
And let alone the money, just the worry on her part.
Right. So, you know, one of the most basic tips we have is resist that urge to take immediate action.
Yeah. We can talk some more about that. We're going to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back right after this look at the news. You stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here taking a look at consumer protection issues today with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You have some consumer questions, I hope you'll call us at 800-642-1234. Post on our Facebook page, just the title of our page is The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you that way, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Robert and Stevens Point up next. Robert, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. About 6 weeks ago, a briefcase containing a local brokerage account from a Stiefel Nicholas indicating my stock reports and money that I have there disappeared. About maybe it was stolen from my car, I don't know. Shortly after that, about a week or two after that, my mail was stopped, held. And I didn't know that. I didn't receive any mail for about a week, so I went down to the post office and talked with the postmaster, and he said, well, your mail has been held. And he showed a written, handwritten report unsigned saying that to hold my mail. And he went to receive, he found my mail and gave it to me. And I'm wondering if I should be concerned if something nefarious might be occurring.
Oh, yeah. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, I would be concerned in that these are indicators in the warning flags of identity theft. Someone out there had your information. It could be connected to the briefcase. So I would, you know, make sure you're contacting the accounts and contacts that were in that briefcase. If you had other mail or your checkbook or whatever it is, be contacting the bank, the credit card, the, I think you mentioned a stock portfolio, be reaching out there. And then running that one of your free annual credit reports and be checking and monitoring that. You know, you talk to the Postal Service and you've monitored your mail, that make sure there's no change of address form on file and be looking through what's there as well. And you can also, in time, you know, check a Social Security statement type situation to make sure you don't have another job you didn't know about. If depending upon what information was in that briefcase.
Just my account number.
Okay.
And all these stocks and bonds that I've that was holding for me.
Yeah, just be sure you're going back to that entity that manages those for you and putting controls in place there and making those changes. You can go to our website and we have different information as to points of contact. If you're a victim of identity theft, the steps and things that you need to be doing, who you need to be making contact with, filing that police report. So you can call us and we do victim them assistance and can walk you through those actions you can take. But datcp.wi.gov will have that printed information, and 1-800-422-7128. They can transfer you over to the identity theft phone line, and someone can walk you through.
But I would be getting on the line, on the phone right away to the portfolio people.
Make that your first call.
Yeah, yeah. They changed my number and told me that they know me and they know my voice, and nobody's going to take any money.
Okay, so you did that. Well,
oh, sure.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was getting pretty worried about that part of it, Robert. Well, good luck. Thank you so much. Now, you got everything there, what you need now, who to contact and so forth?
I think so. I'm still curious about why the post office indeed allowed the mail to be stopped without my signature or talking to them.
Yeah,
they have that simple form, and then you can also do holds online, I believe, as well. So you know your carrier, it sounds like, so that's one thing, but normally it's just a big business, and they have their forms, and those would be submitted. So
yeah, there we go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Pat in Hayward has something for us. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
What have you got for us today?
Okay, I've got a landline and a cell phone, and I registered both of them with the Do Not Call list. And from all kinds of different numbers, for a while I was keeping a log of them, I keep getting calls from this certain company. And I put in a complaint to the Do Not Call list, even. And they still keep calling. What more can I do?
Hmm. So this is a company, you think a legitimate company?
No, I don't think it's a legitimate company.
Yeah.
I recognize the voice, and it comes from all kinds of different phone numbers. Like I said, I was keeping a log, but it didn't seem to make any difference. And I told them, I reported them, and if I hear the voice, I'll hang up. But I have kids who have an unlisted number, so I can't always tell, you know, if it's the scammers or if it's my kids.
Yeah, okay. Sandy, you want to address this?
Well, the Do Not Call law was passed in Wisconsin in 2002, I believe, and that was a very, very different time when you think about the technology that was in place then. And it was set up to deal with companies like phone companies, banks, insurance companies, in other words, legitimate companies that were selling by phone. But now we have this totally different landscape where you have technology available that can blast out hundreds of thousands of calls an hour from anywhere in the world. And, of course, these criminals that are making the fraudulent calls are, for the most part, not in this country. They're in West Africa or Eastern Europe or in Asia, and they're able to hide from American law enforcement by doing that. And Michelle mentioned earlier, we communicate on a regular basis with federal agencies, and they in turn work with law enforcement in other countries to find these organizations and take them down. But it's not an easy process, as you can imagine.
No, for sure. Thank you, Pat, and good luck. I wish we had. I wish there was a way to magically get rid of those.
Well, there is some progress at the federal level on this, and we've said many times the real solution here lies in blocking the calls at the network level before they get to your phone and the ringing starts. And the Federal Communications Commission and Federal Trade Commission are working on that. So there is a solution in sight, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again, Pat. Let's go to Dennis in La Crosse. Dennis, hello to you.
Hi, I was a courier for FedEx for 25 years, and a lot of scammers will use FedEx and UPS for you to ship your money to them. They won't use the post office. So if they do use the post office, then the postal authority will help you go after them. So that's just kind of a tip I got.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. That makes sense to me. The federal government gets after you. You know you've been gotten after.
Right. I mean, that's another red flag, warning sign, tip, whatever you want to call it. Having to wire money, that's the other big one. So depending upon how they want to receive their payment, there are key indicators. You have to pay by gift card, another key indicator. Yeah. That's not the way the world works in payment.
Thanks again, Dennis. Gary in Wisconsin Dells, your turn. Let's see. Oops, pushed the wrong button. Now we'll get Gary on. Hi, Gary.
It's called Telezapper, T-E-L-E-Z-A-P-P-E-R, which is available on eBay. And I used it on my mother's phone before she passed on. She passed on in 2010, so I don't know if the technology is still working. But what it does is when your answering machine or when you answer, it sends a sound, a signal to the computer that's making the call, and it tells that, and this signal says that number is no longer in service. It's been disconnected. So theoretically, those programs take it off of their list so they don't call them again. And I use it on my mother's phone, and it worked. Hmm. I don't know if it will still work, but it is available.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one application or one service. There's others out there that do that. That is what we've heard. That's what the Federal Communication Commission, FTC, is working towards, too, this communication of a dead phone, a type mm-hmm. situation, a non-used number.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you, Gary, for calling with that. Carlene in Brooklyn, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm getting two or three emails a day from a scam that says my Amazon order has been canceled. I've contacted Amazon and Google and Earthlink. Nobody can do anything about it, and I do sometimes have legitimate Amazon orders. So I guess I just wanted to make sure that people know it's still going on and not to click on the number in the email, because I don't know that there's anything to be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we did put out a warning about that particular scam, I think, late last week. And this is a great example of a phishing email where they obviously want you to click a link, which will probably download malicious software of some kind onto your tablet or PC. In some cases, they may ask for a credit card number or something like that. But it can be very difficult to tell the difference between these phishing attempts and a legitimate retailer. So she handled it correctly, and she was keeping track of her Amazon purchases. But, you know, if you're ever in doubt, call the customer service number and check it out that way. But whatever you do, don't click a link in an email that you're not expecting to receive.
Thank you, Carlene. Appreciate your call. Liz in Oshkosh emailed to say that she went to the DMA Mail Choice and they asked for $2. Is that legit? I'm trying to think of what the DMA...
That was the Direct Marketers Association.
Oh, yeah.
Not familiar with there being a fee. You're supposed to be able to put that on for 3 years in order to process that service. We've, you know, verified that every year type information, and it's supposed to be registering free every 3 years at that point. So we can do some checking to see if there's been changes, but you can also write to them to let them know that you want to.
Do you want to give that number again? You know, it's possible Nick is like me, he could have hit the wrong.
Yeah, so it was a website. It was DMA Choice, choice.org. So making sure it's a .org versus a .com.
Oh, yeah, that would do it. So at least it's something to check on. And in the meantime, you guys are going to check on this, mm-hmm. and we'll get a report out on that. Thank you very much, Liz, for that. And John in Jefferson called to ask if you've heard of someone calling to confirm a VFW card and then try to sell a memorial book.
No, but there are different kinds of, you know, who's who books or be on this list kind of book and directory sales that way. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a form of that that targets veterans as well. If concerned, call us. We can check to see if there's complaints. If you can send us information and we can take a look at it as well for complaints. So 1-800-422-7128.
Depending on the details, that could be a violation of state law that they're making those calls.
Nick in Eagle River has young children. Should he freeze their credit? What do you think, Michelle?
Well, Wisconsin is a unique state in that we offer security freezes for children. It's allowed under our law. You need to pay to put a freeze in place, but it locks down their credit. So an identity thief can't obtain that, use it unknowingly for potentially 18 years until the child needs to go get a student loan for college or something or their first car. So if you know, it's a way of making sure no one can use that number or that name and number together to take out those extensions of credit. You need to file all the paperwork by mail because they need to prove that you're the legal guardian or parent of the child. And we have that information available on our website, or we can mail it out in a fact sheet how to do that. But you need to contact each one of the three credit reporting agencies individually and pay them for that for each child.
Dennis in Chippewa Falls, we'll turn to you now. Thanks for calling, Dennis. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out for the email scams, I've been getting quite a few lately, and I've noticed if I put my cursor over the from email address, it comes up with a what I would assume is a non-legitimate. It has nothing to do with where it's coming from, in responsibility with the Amazon, the fake Amazon one.
Yeah,
that's a great way to detect whether it's a fraudulent email, is hovering your mouse over a link and or the return address, and it'll being obvious, instead of Amazon, like customer/Amazon.com, it will say Dr. Phil Toilet Training or something like that is what I've seen.
Oh, my goodness. So that's a very good tip, Dennis. Thank you very much. Bill in Madison, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I'd like to see the state petition the federal government for some caller ID integrity. And carriers should be responsible to verify caller ID and not allow these. The numbers come through are so bogus. You call them back and it's unlisted number or it's no longer in service or whatever. And it would be easy, I think, for the federal government to require carriers and penalize the carriers if they send a caller ID to a household like myself that's not valid. Mm-hmm. They can send withheld or unavailable with an IP address or something, but at least I could set up automatic equipment to dump the call.
Yeah,
that's part of the rulemaking that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now, is the spoofing and using a phony caller ID number and identifier. And at the very least, I agree, carriers should be able to explain how these issues should be resolved so everybody's clear on how they should be reported and blocked.
Yeah, thank you for calling. I mentioned yesterday that I had a little issue of my own, and just to quickly say, my daughter was marching in her high school band in Missouri and Illinois and went to both places, charged a few times, and came back, and then I get an alert that someone had tried to charge 30 cents to a hotel on my number. And then there was, a $4 and something to Redbox for a video. And Capital One was quick on the trigger on that. And I had to get a new credit card. That's the third time in about a 2-year period for me.
Yeah, there are so many great apps now that you can set up so that you get a text or an email every time your card is used. And that's how, in your case, you knew that something phony was going on. But the banks and credit card companies have really ramped up their anti-fraud efforts. And, you know, if you're traveling and you forgot to notify your credit card company, your card will be blocked immediately.
Yeah, they do a great job, and I really like that app. It's nice to, every time something gets charged almost instantly, here comes the app to say, yeah, did you charge? Are you, your charge has just been recorded, and you know if you did it or not.
Right.
And I'm not accustomed to spending 30 cents at a hotel at 11 o'clock at night so on a credit card. And that's just to, the 30 cents is just to see if it'll go through,
right,
I assume.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to Dave in Milwaukee. Dave, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Somebody commented on veterans organizations. There's somebody calling in regard to... Okay. There is a company out there that that makes yearly albums, and I assume that they make them, they make these for all of the organizations. I have purchased two of them in the past. One for the Vietnam Veterans of America and one for the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Now, they sent me a postcard, but you do have to call them. And it says, important member verification due now. Call, one of them is 1-866-588-9290 immediately. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they basically try to sell you this album.
Yeah.
I run a veterans organization from a 15th Field Artillery from the Vietnam War. I've been doing that for 15 years, and I was a little leery of this at first. But the albums are hardcover.
They're good.
They do, well, they cost you, you know, they take a credit card. They cost about $150. But they're huge. They're big, and they're hardcover. They're nice looking. And they'll list all of the membership at that time.
You know, and thanks for that call. We're running a little shorter on time. And there, as always is the case, there may be legitimate, or there in this case, sounds like there is a legitimate organization, but then there's going to be somebody that's going to sound like that organization, Sandy, and take advantage of the legitimate organization.
Right. We hear a lot from people who receive phone calls from organizations raising money for veterans groups or local law enforcement groups, police or firefighters, and in many cases, they're not really affiliated with the local group.
Thanks for that call. You know, there's some things that I wanted to talk about today. We didn't have a chance. The stores are starting to put out their school supply stuff now.
Already?
Yeah. Maybe that's something, you know, how can shoppers get their money's worth when going back to school? That may be an issue you could talk about next time you're on, or I'm sure there'll be more new scams. You guys are never going to run out of business or things to do, are you?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, boy. Thank you so much for being with us today. Sandy Chalmers, Assistant Deputy Secretary with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection within the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Great to have them with us. And they'll be back August 3rd, and we will do this all over again. Join us tomorrow for another edition of Garden Talk. Lisa Johnson will be back to talk about plant diseases caused by all this rain. Thanks so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.